I just hear the Lord say there's an epidemic of unbelief in my body, in my church, amongst my children. I expect this with the children of disobedience. I don't have my life in them to be able to walk in the way that I say walk. But the children of the light, you, my children, I expect so much more from you. And not in a way of pressure, not in a way of condemnation. I do expect you to come up higher. Begin to deal with the unbelief that is in your heart. Turn after faith and truth like your life depended on it. To deal with that unbelief, which is like a canker and a cancer. And it steals from you every day, it robs from you. And I hate to see it, because with that unbelief operating in you, you will not be able to stand up in who I've called you to be. What's it going to take, my people? What's it going to take, my children? When are you going to stop just being a hearer and being a doer of what I'm asking? All I'm asking is that you'd begin to take one step in front of the other toward me. Start today growing. Don't let the magnitude of you knowing how far you have to go stop you. Start taking steps today. Time with me will begin to give you the desire that you need to put the word in you enough that you begin to start conquering that unbelief. And it's different for everyone. You're not all the same. You don't all have the same time. But you all have more where you're at. So give me all of you, my children. Give me all of you. Because just like a cancer will ravage the body, so will unbelief.
As we're singing, I just saw like a house, you know, those houses that are made of popsicle sticks, and how when you're a kid and you just glue them together and you make it a square, but it's not very stable and sturdy really in the end. You just begin to pick it apart. And I just saw as we worship him, he is just pulling down that stronghold, those things in our lives that do not belong, those things that he wants to remove. He's just breaking those sticks apart. He's just breaking them off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We think that we couldn't get fixed. We think that we are broken. Hallelujah. But he is removing those things. He is breaking those sticks. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you know that no stronghold is too big for him? Jesus, we give you honor, Lord God. Hallelujah. Those things that have kept you bound, those sicknesses that has kept you down, oh, they are broken right now. They are broken right now. Oh, just receive it from the Lord right now. Just receive it from the Lord. It's him that's doing it. It's him that's doing it. Just worship him. Thank him. And thank him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory, God. We give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, oh, Jesus. Complete healing now, and everybody. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't know who's watching, but it's for you too. Somebody who is watching right now, just receive that healing. Just receive that healing. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. Oh, we receive it, Lord. Oh, healing is going forth right now. Healing is going forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus.
If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I understand more and more just why Pastor Dave Roberson taught so much from Romans chapter 8. You know, when I first started listening to him and being taught by the Holy Spirit through his ministry, it began to, you know, at that time began to really strike me the importance of this chapter. But as, you know, almost 15, 16 years have passed, I've come to learn even more. As I've continued to listen to Pastor Dave and to Pastor Jim, you know, Pastor Jim has, he's always got like multi-message series, and he's got one just on the law of the Spirit of life. I think it's 6 or 7 messages just on the law of the Spirit of life. It's so significant, it's so powerful. And I'm, you know, there's a degree to which you think, oh, I have a grasp on something. And then the Holy Spirit brings it up again after time, and you grow and you mature and you learn and you realize, oh, there's so much more to it. And I'm recognizing how significantly powerful verses 1 and 2 really are. That there's they describe a transition from what we once were to what we have been made to be, and it's so powerful, it's so significant. The transformation going from a death nature to a life of God nature is so significant that there's more time that needs to be spent just in this chapter. The transition from a man who is subject to the law of sin and death, that regardless of what he may want, regardless of what his will might be in terms of serving God, he's taken captive by the death that's in him the death that we once bore ourselves, but have been so radically delivered from. There is therefore no condemnation. We've learned and we know that what that's talking about is that there are no more condemning sentences. And the condemning sentence was that death that was at work in us, that death that was producing producing sin, sin being a byproduct of that death. And that those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we no longer walk according to the flesh because we're born again. Because we're born again, we now walk according to the Spirit. And that walk of the Spirit is where the law of the Spirit of life resides. That law of the Spirit of life is what delivers us from the death. And really what I've come to really recognize just recently, and maybe was plain to most of you, or if not all of you, but that Paul, what he's describing here in these few verses, he's describing the old man and the new man. Who we once were and who we've been made to be. You know, in verse 3 it says, you know, the law was weak. What was the law? The law was the commandment that said, don't do this and don't do that. And it was weak in that the flesh could never, you know, by willpower alone, by a decision of the mind to say, I'm going to be obedient, it couldn't successfully do that. And so the individual's identity was, I'm dead. And what did they have to do? Well, they had to try to honor God as best they could according to the law. And a lot of animals died because of it. And yet, God never gave the law as the final answer. It was given to reveal that death, reveal the need for something greater, for a greater change, a transformation. We see that in verse 5 it says that those who are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. Meaning, they have an appetite for, a desire for, they have a heart to do those things. But they that are after the Spirit, that's us. What's in us is a desire to do things that are of the Spirit. You know, he's drawing the contrast between what we once were and what we are now. Verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. You know, the carnal mind in verse 7 says is enmity against God. And enmity is to be an enemy of God with extreme hostility. And I think we witness that on a regular basis. We're seeing in the world how there's a hostility against just about anything that's Christian. You know, you can have an atheist who says he hates all religion, but somehow finds a way to have tolerance for the Muslim or the Buddhist or the whoever. But if you try to say the name of Jesus, heaven help you. Somebody told me recently that there's, I don't remember who told me, but I guess there's a Coke machine that you can input the name you want to be printed on a Coke can. It was Jamie who was telling me. So you could print, like for example, in the province of Quebec and possibly in France, I could find articles with my name on it. A-L-A-I-N. But I have yet to find a Coke can or a Coke bottle with my name on it. You can find all sorts of different names, but not mine. But you can type in on this Coke machine, the name A-L-A-I-N, put your money in and it'll spit out a can with my name on it. Well, you can type in the name Muhammad and it'll spit out a can with the name Muhammad on it. Or Buddha, or any such name, but if you put in the name Jesus, the screen says error. Why? Because he's the one true God. All these others, they're not real. They're deaf and dumb idols. Worse, they're demonic spirits portraying some god, promising a lie that they were, you know, you're going to get 70 virgins in your heaven. Is it heaven for those 70 virgins? I don't think so. All the things that they say are wicked on this earth, they get in their heaven? That's bizarre. I mean, that alone should be a clue to them. But the carnal mind is an enemy of God and is hostile to God. Open hostility. And Paul is saying, this is what the darkness is. This is what walking in the flesh is. This is this over here. But walking in the Spirit, this is over here. He says walking in the Spirit is, if Christ is in you, you know, the body may be dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Even goes on to say, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the whole process of the Spirit of life at work in us. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus at work in us. That law would then cause our spirit, our bodies to cease from sin. Hallelujah. The contrast between what was and what is. And the amazing thing is that, you know, we look at our own personal lives and we see that we fail sometimes. We mess up. And sometimes we can even fail in things that we've never failed before, and we wonder, where did that come from? How did this happen? Where? And then the worst part that is that we begin to beat up on ourselves. And we begin to say about ourselves, I'm not worthy. I'm the worst. If people at church really knew who I was, they would know that I'm it's a front. I'm not really who I pretend to be. See, that's not just you speaking, that's the enemy speaking through you. Trying to tell you, hey, you're at enmity with God. You have a carnal mind. You're not really who God has said about you, or what God has said about you. That's not who you are. See, the enemy's a liar. I don't know why we believe him. He's been proven from the very beginning to be a liar. John 10:10 says that he's a liar. He was come to kill, steal, and destroy. And part of what he lies to steal from us is who God has told us we are. Try to steal that away from us. Try to get us to identify with something that isn't real, that isn't true. You know, sometimes things get hard in life and we mess up. We make a mistake. You know, the last time I spoke, I talked about, you know, maybe you're on a diet. Maybe you're fasting because you have to go give blood the next morning, you know, blood work. And so you've decided that you're going to resist that cheesecake that's in the fridge. And it's, you know, you're doing all that you can to resist it. But, you know, your mind is just, you know, keeps rolling around back to that cheesecake. You can practically taste it. And you're resisting, and eventually give in to it, right? Well, sometimes it isn't about that thing that entices us so much. Sometimes the pressure of life gets to a point where we, in a moment, we make a mistake. And I mean, I think every single one of us can, if we get, you know, given a few minutes, we could probably come up with an occasion where we did something in a moment and instantly realized that was a horrible mistake. What have I done? Regretted it immediately. And sometimes some of those mistakes are small, and you know, we brush them off and we move on. But other times they're big and they can have serious consequence in the natural. You know, let's say, for example, you're under a lot of financial pressure. I know what that's like. We've been under that before. You know, when the Lord convinced me to be obedient to His instruction, to trust Him for provision, there was a long stretch where, even like Pastor Jim was ministering this morning, you know, God gives you an instruction. You have an idea of what that's going to be like, and you imagine it. You see it coming forth the way you imagine it. And of course, it's not what God wanted. It's your own imaginations. And when it doesn't pan out the way you planned, oh my goodness. And so, you know, okay, fine, I'll be obedient. Lord, I'll trust you for provision. And I won't try to supply our need myself by going to work in the secular. I will trust you. And, you know, months went by and there was no money and things were getting desperate. And I remember one night, laying in bed, my heart physically and literally pounding in my chest because of the fear that I was experiencing. The fear was very real. The fear was, I might lose the house. You know, where will Jamie and the girls live? Or, you know, worse, the girls were really little. You know, I had this vision of the government taking the girls away from us because, you know, we're unfit parents or something. Like, the fear was, the dread was real. Now, thankfully, I'd been taught to know what to do, and that was, I got up out of bed, I went down to the living room, and I cast myself before the Lord, and worshipped and worshipped and worshipped and prayed in tongues and worshipped and worshipped and worshipped. But you know, sometimes the pressure can be so great that in an instant you make a mistake, and maybe it's on your taxes. If I report everything, I'm going to have a $5,000 tax bill. But if I leave this one line out, I get a $5 rebate or refund. Owe $5,000, get $5 back. And in an instant, you just, okay, I'm just going to do this. And then you submit it. What have I done? The fear, the dread, the horror. I made a horrible mistake. I've sinned. Because that's lying, that's stealing. It's wrong. Now your conscience is bothering you. And then it goes beyond conscience. Now it's condemnation. The enemy's there. You're foul. You're horrible. If people knew, you're a thief. You're a liar. You're a cheat. Do you know, our identity, what Paul is telling us here in chapter 8, our identity is not in those things. Our identity is in verses 1 and 2. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You're born again. It says here that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. Free from what? Free from the law of sin and death, but also free from all the condemnation that comes with sinning. And so Paul draws a contrast between the sinner, the lost person, and those of us who have received Jesus and were born again and were filled with the life of God in us. We're born of Him. In Ephesians chapter 4 it says that this man, this new nature, the spirit that we now have, is created after God, in His likeness, just as He is. That's how Jesus was created on the earth. You know, He was born of a woman, but born of God, not of man. And so He was created after God. Hallelujah. That spirit that was in Jesus, John chapter 1 verse 4 says that in Him was life, and that life was the light of man. That's our light. That's our spirit. Hallelujah. And so the enemy would come and say that, you know, you're the worst Christian. You barely fit the label. You're going to maybe make it to heaven, but it'll be by the skin of your teeth, smelling of smoke. You're the worst. But that's not what God says. See, in this chapter, verse 14, Paul continues and he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," and that's the nature of God, not the Holy Spirit, should be lowercase s, "for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." And that spirit of bondage is talking about the spirit of the law of sin and death. That spirit, that death nature. We have not received that again to be in fear of what? Fear of, I made a mistake and God's going to come after me. God's going to, you know, crack down on me. But it says here we have received the spirit. Again, that's our nature. A spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, our nature, the spirit we're born of, is constantly crying out, "You're my Father. You're my Father. You're my Father. I love You. You're my Father." That's our spirit. And the amazing thing is Holy Spirit, in verse 16, Holy Spirit comes along and He says, "That's right. You are His son. You are His daughter. You are His child. That is who you are. You're not these other things. You're a child of God." That's our identity. The enemy is an identity thief. He wants to take that away from us. In the same way that he took, you know, the Garden of Eden away from humanity, the paradise that God had created for us, he took that away. How? By lying and causing them to believe a lie that they should be, you know, they should give it up. The Spirit itself bears witness with your spirit that you are the child of God.